word of God is interesting. I told you that usually I read Psalms every Sunday, remember? That I wake up in the morning and read every Sunday. And a couple of weeks ago, I finally finished the book of Psalms. That took about almost 3 years, thereabout, if I'm reading about 150 Psalms and one for Sunday, 50 Sundays in a year. Finally, I got through with it. And when I got through with it, I changed my style. I said, let me do something that's different. Let me just take the book of Psalms and just read it every day. So I changed from every Sunday to every day. And, you know, so don't worry, I'm not preaching from the Psalms I'm reading. I'm just going to share with you this morning. But the book of Psalms is very fascinating. If you ever grow up in all these churches that are a little bit of prayer, a lot of that kind of thing, the book of Psalms are very, 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 very crucial to their prayer time and to their stuff. I usually wonder how they came about it, to start using the book of Psalms. But according to our culture, it sounds more like incantations and kind of a schedule of things that you can just use. So it became ready and handy to use for people that just want to, they may not get hold of the Bible. So why did God put the book of Psalms in the Bible? And these people had some genuine reason, because the house of Israel, the Jews, they used the book of Psalms as their prayer book. If you've ever gone to the Full Anglican Church, they have prayer book. Anglican common book of, is it common book of prayer that you use, or that they have a book for praying. And so, in a bid to have a kind of a ritual, you know, sometimes don't blame all these people that use some of these things. You know, everybody does some of these things. Like, for instance, Catholics also use incense now. Don't they? They use incense in Catholic. So they are the grandfather of all these things. Hello? but see, the book of Psalms is quite interesting. Everybody identifies with the book of Psalms, one way or the other, you know, over the years. You can just enter the book of Psalms and find yourself there. Of course, you can find, it's also very, very kind of, to our people, very interesting, because Africans deal with a lot of enemies. Because love, in fact, we are even called dark continents. Are you hearing me? We're called dark continents. That's our problem, because light is not shining as it's shining, the light of love. An African man, when something happens, he will say, you know, that kind of a thing. So the book of Psalms has become quite interesting. In fact, the book of Psalms is in 5 volumes to follow each of the Torah. That's what we call the Torah, the Pentateuch. That's Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. 5 of them. So they group the book of Psalms according to the Jews for each one of them. And by the way, Israel was attacked yesterday in a very bad manner. Hallelujah. I don't have any further comment on that. That's between nations and God and stuff. That's all runs their stuff. I'm not on the side of anybody. I'm on the side of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Are we here? So the book of Psalms is interesting. But, you know, I grew up in a house where my uncle was a prophet in KNS. So I saw where you will come. They put water on the ground and they read Psalms into it. I was also privileged to be asked to read the Psalms as a privilege, you know, because I went to school. So my uncle didn't go to much school. And then he would ask me, women will come, people will come. The interesting thing about, they never really inquire about your life. You know, they try to just want to help people that are not, they don't know what they're doing. So we read the Psalms into the book, and people come from everywhere. Elijah, Elijahs, Christians, everybody. Because our Orthodox churches seem to be powerless in things like that. Are we here? And so, I can't forget one of my uncles. When I call my uncle, one of my grandfathers. We have many grandfathers in the village. If you see my uncle, who's the father of that my uncle, if you see my uncle, you think we look alike, we sound alike, we stammer both of us, you know, he's tall like me, I'm tall like him. You know, so the father of my uncle, what do you call that one now? My wife is not around, she's called all these kind of things, you know. So he converted to Baptist. He was idol worshiper before, he became a Baptist, and they began to attack him for that. So they came one day with cutlass into his house, and then they attacked him, and they smashed the cutlass. The thing bounced back. He's a Baptist person now, but he said, kuti kuro metal. You know that kind of thing. So that, you know, they get converted, but it's not deep enough to actually get those kind of things away from them. And in my village, I don't know about your village, they still consult. So that's why the room opened for like K&S and Celeste, because people are looking for more power than anything else. In fact, Osofa went to, I think, Methodist Church, and he read about all those things, about miracles, and he said, shut up. I hope you're getting what I'm saying this morning. So the book of Psalms became a kind of a magical book to actually assess God. And like I told you before, my uncle would ask me to read Psalm 119 into water. And I didn't make any sense of it because, I mean, it's longest. I don't know why they're doing that. And we go and fetch water. We will not talk. Only my phone. So we'll bring it home. We'll talk all the way at the stream. I can't forget. We passed that place. There was a CAC church not far from that stream. And they will sing a song. I can't forget it today. Jesu Kore Dale Mohe. When we are passing in the morning. And we just say that. And I just wonder. But I didn't see any godliness and change really in my uncle's life. To my surprise, when I came to Nigeria, I was in the village and my father was not around. So he put me to sleep. His friend, Babalawo, like I told you before. So I was staying with Babalawo as his friend, as my father's friend. And he was selling kerosene in the night time and then doing juju in the daytime. So he didn't go to school too, like my uncle Aladura. So I would write things for him. And I've seen Ogun. And so when I got to secondary school where my uncle was, they began to communicate between both of them. Because you see, all these churches, they came to see that this psalm is not enough, Jari. So they started digging in to find out more. And then I became like a person running between them. And then they will do all kinds of things. You know, it's limiting. Anybody knows that even Pentecostals today are going to occultic power. Do you know why? Because they want to perform and they want to see God move. And like I said, God is more of growth than just move. He wants you to just change. He wants you to get better. He wants your steadfastness. The steadfast love over God. He wants us steadfast. Not just only just get something and be on the run. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I'm saying all that to say this, that the book of Psalms has garnered up all kinds of mystery around itself. But let me tell you what the book of Psalms is giving. Let's go. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Let's take a look. Why the book of Psalms was given. Let's read it. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Quickly, give us. All scripture, or every, I think NIV says every. Let's look at NIV. Did it say every or all? Same thing. Okay, say this. Say the same thing. One of them said every. I don't know now. All scripture or every scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in what? And that's including the book of Psalms. Look at next verse. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I believe that the reason why God gives the Bible, every book in the Bible, it's not just for us to just use as incantation like our culture has given us and churches around us, but it's to help us to kind of be. Let's go back to NKJV. Take a look at NKJV. Give me verse 16 one more time. It said, for doctrine, that's for teaching, and for reproof, to get a proof, to prove something again. And then second, for correction, to help us see how to live life well and to also instruct us in rightness of living. And then, you see, of course, we can pray. For instance, now, you know, if you read some of the Psalms, they are fantastic. I'm reading the book of Psalms now. It's fantastic. I'm reading the Message Bible. This morning, I read Psalm 16. It's amazing, Message Bible. Just sit down, just read it. Just let it just wash through me, instruct me, correct me, and then kind of give me some teaching that I can just use. Do you know that the most quoted book in the New Testament is the book of Psalms? Jesus said it while he was dying. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was quoting Psalm 22. When he said, it is finished, actually he was quoting Psalm also. It's accomplished. And so, Jesus lived in the book of Psalms for instruction, for training. He quoted it when they were doing praise and worship in the temple, and he said, you know, they should not be making any noise. He said, out of babies and sucklings, you have ordained perfected praise. So you can see that God gave us these books to use them, not just to kind of look at them like a mystery book and get through. So this morning, let's take a psalm for living. This psalm, anytime I want to just get myself better, I go to these psalms in the Bible, Psalm 84. Let's go down there. Let's call this psalm a psalm for living. Psalm 84. It's a beautiful psalm. And sometimes I like the book of Psalms because it's quite short. And it has a particular thing you want to get across to us, and we can just go through. Other part of the Bible, you have to read through to get the sense. But the book of Psalms is just kind of short. And then, in fact, Quran is based upon the book of Psalms. They call it Surah 2. Hello? That's just short. All right. Psalms 84. Let's take a look. A psalm for living. A psalm for living. Take a look at this psalm, Psalm 84. Let's just read it through first. Can we just read it all through? Let's just read. Benjamin, are we ready? Or Charles? How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. Let's keep reading. My soul longs, yes, even faint for the court of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. The word Selah means pause. It's a time they just play instruments in the song, because they are song books. They play instrument and you listen. So, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. Let's keep reading. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Next verse. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah again. They play some instrument. God, behold your shield. Behold our shield. And look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your court is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent of wickedness. Next verse. For the Lord God is a sword and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. I love this one. All of us remember that verse. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Is that the last one? O Lord of hosts. Let's see that verse together. Everybody, let's see it together. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. I want us to just look at this psalm this morning for instruction, for correction, for training righteousness, so that we can be more fully equipped for living life. You know, my kind of Christianity is a different brand. Let me say that. One of my desire when I became born again is to be a Christian, to live a Christian. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be a minister. That's not my first orientation as a Christian. That's why I do things differently today. You know, if you look at the Christian faith today, it's much for the ministers and ministry. Sometimes when you even invite a minister, it speaks more to ministers than to Christians. They don't really help us. You see, the average pastor, the average minister today who travels doesn't see our life between Sundays. They see more of our life of revival, going with God on fire. But they never see us living Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, how to cope with life. Can you imagine who is talking about us growing older? Who's talking about us living life? Who's talking about us at work? Talking about once in a while we address marriage. But I believe that Christian life is more for living than just get crashing for blessing. I believe that. I believe that the Christian life is a lifestyle, and it's like a marriage, that's a life commitment. And that we can walk with God all through our lives. And you see, I don't want to have a Christianity that is just only for grabbing something from God like kalu kalu. I want to have a life. But the righteous shall live by faith. Remember that? The just. What I really want is a kind of a lifetime companion of faith. Not just will be dazzled. You see, today we are becoming what they call celebrity pastors in the church. Celebrity pastors. That's even a magazine called that. Prof, remember. You remember now. There was this magazine, and this magazine who made it was looking for me, because he wanted to put me on the celebrity pastor. So that day I was not looking like this. You know, I don't look like this every time. So he came to the compound. I just smell it. You know, sometimes you smell something. I just smell, this guy is coming for something to come and see pastor. So I was in the car, the prof that day. And then we I said, let's go before he catches me. So we started driving out. Then he told him, when he got to the compound, he said, that's pastor. So he ran after the car and he came and he stopped me. I said, alas, 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 I'm in trouble. So as he stopped, prof, you don't remember that we were going to that day. You remember? So he pulled out this magazine, series of them, Celebrity Pastor. He said, it's over Europe, it's in Western world, and they promote pastors, celebrity, they showcase their church, showcase their school, showcase their ministry, showcase maybe their castro, I don't know. And then, and he started flipping through, and he was showing me the different pastors who had gone through that. So I stood over there, I was thinking, should I answer him by resurrection or by death? You know, there are 2 things to answer a question like that. So I just said, I wanted to escape. I said, I don't do things like that. He was shocked. You mean, you don't want to say, you can say, you don't want to promote yourself? He was shocked. I said, no, I don't do that. He said, huh? He started flipping through. He showed me, I'm not very sure now, the bedroom of a pastor. I mean, and the way he was talking it was like as if, that's your stuff, man. That's what you are looking for, man. That's what they are looking for. You can see that. And he looked at me, and I was a stranger to him, and he was a stranger to me, too. And so I walked away. I don't care. All I want is Christians to live their Christian life. For me, what matters most is that we live as Christians. The just shall live by faith. In fact, you know what Paul said? He said, we really live when you are alive. Praise God. So, I want to spend some time this morning talking about a psalm for living. How do we live our life? You see, this last verse of this psalm, actually, when you look at that psalm, it's like you are looking through a life. It's like taking a video of a life. A life that has its trust in God. How do you live such a life? If you are going to live a life that trusts God 24/7, if you want to have a life that depends on Christian excellence, how do you live it? It's not a life of just work, it's a life of trust. Praise God, somebody. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Am I right? So it's a life of trust. And what is a life of trust? Emmanuel, please come. What is a life of trust? It's not a life of standing on your feet. The Christian life is not a life of standing on your feet. Buckle up. Self-made. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is a life of trust. You are leaning on someone. Leaning. You know the song? Leaning on the everlasting. See, you are leaning. A Christian life is a life of trust. Hold on, don't. I'm not too big now. I can. You see, if after a while, no matter how small I am, if you can't rule, you know the meaning of that? You get tired. But God never gets tired. We can rely on Him. We can stay on Him. You know, David said, Lord, I trust you when I'm young. When I'm old, don't cast me away. You know the meaning of that? I want to be on you. I want to live on your credit, hallelujah, all my lifetime. So blessed is the man who trusts in you. Thank you, you can go. That's even at the end of it, exclamatory mark. May your life be that to those who are around you. That they will look at you, you are blessed because you trust in the Lord. You rely on the Lord. When things happen, when things don't go your way, when things don't go things the way you want it to go, you can actually just rely. Now let's look at that life. Let's watch that life. From it's going out till it's coming back in the evening. Let's watch that life. What start that life? When you want to live a life that is a life of trust, what do you see first? What is your heart cry first? You know, heart cry, man, I hear it too. The economy will settle down. You know, yesterday I was on the phone. This couple in church, I've not seen them in years. And I don't talk on the phone to people. My wife said, she just saw that video call. Oh, I said, let me talk to them. They have twins, boys, and then two girls before the twins. So they were in US. So they put on their phone and, oh, I said, my wife was talking to them. I just peeped my head. Ah, they said, it's a privilege to see you today. I was in the right mood. So they put on, and I was talking with them. And they said, oh, don't you like to travel down here? Come for 5 states. I said, I don't have time. I said, what? He said, you know, I said, when I came to US, I preached every day. And second day, I picked my bag and I left. And he said, Reverend, you know, I said, I'm not so much. Then I dropped the bomb. I said, you know what? I've been in Abeokuta since 1989. I've never been to Olumo. Huh? You must be crazy. Oh, I passed by it. I never climbed there. I can see it on video, so I don't have to go down there. Pastor, you're really abnormal. Thank you. That's just me. I'm not fascinated with something. But I told them one thing. I said, you know why I don't like travel? It messes up my life. I had to sleep on a bed. I don't know, sure. I had to enter a plane, maybe delay sometimes. But there's something I didn't tell them. I preserve my spiritual routines. Like you preserve your breathing. I mean, if you enter any room where you can't breathe very well, what do you do if you are normal? You want to step outside and want to breathe. If you are in a place where you cannot drink real good water, you want to step outside and buy pure water. Am I right, somebody here? So I'm not thinking about that first. I'm thinking of that place where I can be with God. Let's open verse 1 of this psalm. If you are looking at the man who can be blessed, trusting God, this is greatest desire. This is we are looking at what is lovely in his life. Not just Luma Rock. Please, that's all right. You can go to Luma Rock several times. I'll take you there. I'll be your guide. I've watched the video. He said, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. A person who wants to live the Christian life, that's a place he loves to be. That's a place he likes to go to. What fascinates him most is the tabernacle of the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 27. You see something over there that will really help you. I came to see that the product is not so much. It's not so much about the product. You see, Brother Peter worked for several years in Lafarge, the cement factory. That's where the cement, that's where it's coming from. They work day and night, maintain things, study all those things to see that the right cement will come out. When it comes out as quality, they can go to sleep. And it can be used anywhere without them being called upon. But that processing, that factory must be given utmost attention. Am I right, sir? So, what is the factory of a Christian? Let's go to Psalm 27 verse 1. Take a look at Psalm 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's the product. That's the cement. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Next verse. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. See, David was boasting and talking like that. You say, maybe, oh, concerning. This is not incantation to woo up some kind of a god from his sleep. Next verse. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though one may rise against me, in this I have been confident. In what? Look at next verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek. You can see that over there. That I may dwell in the house. That I may be in the factory. If you can make it well, it will work out well outside. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. See, talking about house. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. Let's go to Psalm 84. Let's look at David's cry, heart cry. Psalm 84 verse 1 again. Let's go Psalm 84 verse 1. Oh, how lovely. Now, how is David living his daily life? What is uppermost? What is greatest appetite? Look at next verse. What is it? Next verse. My soul longs, yes, even faint. You know, all that depression sometimes, all that sadness is actually a symptom of a cry for God. I met a man years ago, highly placed, highly academic, at the peak of his profession, and he was having serious mental challenges. He had been to hospitals, he had been to places, he's not working because there's a fundamental fear in him. that he may not be able to face his life well and take care of his family. He went, they put him for 2 months in a psychiatric hospital. He came back, he said, I didn't get better. When he sat down with me in my office and we talked, after I finished with him, I said, your answer is not in the land of the living. What you are looking for is not in the psychiatric drugs. I said, you are looking for assurance. You are looking for who can secure your future. I said, that nothing except your heavenly Father. You know, you think that Nigeria is a very bad country. That life is not safe here. Life is not safe anywhere. Look here. You can be in the U.S. and lose everything and declare bankruptcy. It's even tougher there. Because you can lose your house and lose your car and nowhere to sleep. In Nigeria, you say, they will take you in. Are you hearing me? So David said, my soul long, yes, even faint for the call of the Lord. My heart and my flesh. Sometimes when you are sick, you're not actually sick. Your body is just looking for God. Are you hearing me? We don't interpret this well. So we think, maybe I need to eat something more. I need to drink something more. I need to take some other herbs. Are you hearing me? But the real herb is Yahweh. Praise God, somebody. So he said, my soul, my heart desire, your longing. Oh, that car, that house, that thing, that dream something. Your real dream is God. Hallelujah, somebody. Any Christian, when you are getting older, you have seen some things. You have, you know, we had some things. Yesterday, we had a meeting here. I don't want to mention them because it's the number of service. We had a meeting with him. And then we were talking about borrowing. And one of us here got up and said, don't borrow. I borrowed 10 million. I paid back 100 million and I lost 2 houses. The hope just went, oh! I didn't have to teach for that anymore. He's been there. He has seen it. There's no safe place on this planet. There's no safe place. Not even Israel now. There's no safe place. But the tabernacle of God. Let me tell you, the Bible describes 3 things as tabernacles of God. Number one, heaven. The tabernacle of God. That's where God stays. Number two, the church of the living God. Number three, your heart. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? If God has not come to tabernacle in your heart, there's no use coming to church, and there's no use going to heaven. Are you hearing me? It's your heart first. Let's look at 1 John 4, verse 15. Praise God. 1 John 4, verse 15, quickly. A person, this is it. 1 John 4, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Can I hear your voice? What is it next? God abides in him, and he, that is the fulfillment of Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in this. That's that tabernacle. Dwelleth. He said, God abides in him, and he in God. Let me read like this. God tabernacles. Hallelujah. God has never designed this tabernacle on earth to be a fixed thing. It want to be a mobile thing. We are the mobile tabernacle of God. Praise God, somebody. Are you hearing me, somebody here? Tell yourself, I'm a tabernacle of the Most High. Say it better. Say that because I confess Jesus, God dwells in me and I dwell in God. So how long does it take to get to God? Just go to your heart. You know, I've always secured something in life. I always want to find a place, sit down, and I can talk to that God that I'm tabernacle of. Let me destroy another myth. When I was growing up as a Christian in school, they actually talk about prayer as if prayer is everything. Like you have to pray 7 hours, 8 hours. And then you wonder, oh boy, that sounds good when you're a student. But when you are out of school and start going around, you don't have that kind of time. You got things to do. And, you know, it's not easy. Then I came to see that we are confusing God's presence dwelling there than with prayer. You see, like now, you live with your daddy over here, that I came to you, and his wife. They live in the same house. They are tabernacling together. But they are not always talking. Am I right? They are talking. And the talking is just more than talking. It's exchanging. Am I right? Oh, do this. I do that. We talk. And we live that every day. That's what God wants us to do as Christians. Not just talking to God, and when you finish, you leave his presence. No! you should be living in his presence. Praise God, somebody. Now, see, let's go back to Psalm 84. The beautiful thing about living in his presence is that it accommodates every kind of personality. God's presence accommodates every kind. Let me show you. Look at next verse. Let's go to Psalm 84. Now, look at next verse. This verse is strange. What's he doing there? Next verse. It's strange. Now, please, can you look up? Even the sparrow, we're talking about tabernacle of God now. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Uluwa, what's sparrow doing here? What's swallow? And between swallow, you know swallow now, Eba. When they ask you for swallow, what do you say, Eba? But then I began to ask myself, in fact, this morning something strange happened. I had to ask them because I was a little bit distracted. Sister Moji came and read on healing. And the first verse that he read from there, I just had sparrow and swallow. Just picked. I said, what's that? It has already gone. So I asked them, I said, go and find another verse for me. Let's read it. Proverbs 16, verse 2, right? Is that correct? 16? 26. Okay, verse 2. Take a look. Like a fleeting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without curse shall not alight. I was checking up the difference between swallow and sparrow. I said, what's this? I'm not a bird lover. Do they disturb me around my area? Well, Pastor, where are you living? Oh, I live in Banana Island, Fabekuta. Where's Banana? No, not Banana. I mean, Litsa, Banana Island. Emmanuel has bananas behind his house, and I'm sharing a fence with him. So I live in Banana Island. And there's a small stream that passed between us. So that's really an island. Emmanuel is the owner of the Banana Island. He has bananas. If you want bananas, see him. Good plantains. Advertising. So start making more. Hallelujah. So the birds just come and disturb me in the morning. I don't like them. But he just come sing. I don't know sparrow. But I started looking at it. I noticed something. These are restless birds. Particularly, see, that word swallow, it flies in the air. It enjoys flight. It's actually a field bird. It flies, goes open field and just fly there. But sparrow is more of an urban person, a homely person. Are you hearing me? So I'm seeing two types of people here now. I'm seeing a sparrow that want to just gravitate. I want to settle down. I want to balance. I want to stay in one spot. But I also see a swallow that enjoys, in fact, they said swallow catches his food in the air. Amazing. Sparrow picks seed, but swallow catches insects by diving after them and flowing after them. So I noticed there are two types of us. Some of us, we are a little bit, we like to just be by ourselves and urban. We are civilized. Some of us, we like to tread all over the place. Some of us don't go to Luma Rock. Some of us go to Luma Rock. Whatever shape you are, whatever your type, whether you are a sparrow, whether you are a swallow, whether you like to settle down or like to be on the move, God said, I have the answer for you. Live in my tabernacle. See, for the swallow, it's a moving thing. There was a woman called Catherine Kuma. How many of you know Catherine Kuma? Powerful woman of God. Nobody knows when Catherine Kuma usually prays. They don't know, so they thought that maybe she was into magic. Catherine Kuma is always, you know, you can't trace her. You can see her on the stage. So you see God move powerfully, and then you can't find her. In fact, when she goes to her meeting, people are praying, say, no, not time to pray now. You know, and you wonder why. She's a kind of a person that just lives in her own world, secluded. They didn't know her age until she died. But some other ones, you can see that. Oh, you can see their life. They have time with God. So whether you are on the move or you are something, you can have God with you. I had an experience yesterday that really blessed me. I was going to go and get a visa in Lagos. I had to go through that island around that area. And I was in this thick hold up. Now, here I was thinking as a pastor. Not as a pastor. I was thinking like, I want to get my visa. And I look across and I saw this man inside this jeep. And I felt sad for myself. You know what I saw? Everybody was asking. His driver was driving him. He had Bible open behind and was just looking and praying. I said, shame on you. You are a pastor. That guy, the way he looks, he was going to the office. He should be one of those top guys in the office. But you know what? Right on the move, he was having time with God. Me, I don't. When I was traveling those days, I go with books, read all the way. But now, kind of a thing. So, whatever style you are, go along with God. Tell yourself, I need to go along with God. Hallelujah. I know somebody like Moses Arulu, he doesn't have quiet time in the morning. He'll go and do all his work first. And he'll come in the afternoon and spend time with God. What a strange person. So whatever your style is, let's go back to Psalm 84, verse 3, quickly. The secret of a person who wants to trust God, he must be with God. In fact, I came to see that the word confidence and confide, they are quite close. You cannot be confident in God if you don't confide in God. Even the sparrow has found a home. So that sparrow that is urban is found a home. Have you found a home in God? Or you have found home in that next house, that next car, that next dream? When are you going to settle down in God and enjoy life wherever you find yourself? When you are coming, there's a picture over there. When you are coming in, as you are coming in, on your left, you see one fisherman lie down like this with his head under his, with his hand under his head and his cap covering his face. I asked Kenneth to help me draw it and put it there. You know the story? It was about a fisherman that was fishing. While he was fishing, a rich man passed by. After he finished fishing, he lied down, was enjoying himself. And then the rich man came and said, hey, fisherman, you are lazy. I said, what? What is it? He said, you are lazy. I said, why? You can make more money. For what? To buy more bigger boats, for what? To buy more fish, for what? To get more fish, for what? To get more boat, for what? To get more fish. I said, for what? So that you can enjoy yourself. The man said, what do you think I'm doing now? Enjoy the journey. Live with God. Hallelujah. You know, I said this somewhere, and I'm not proud saying this. My whole life is lived going to God or coming from God. For instance, I'm in this service now. I'm thinking, when will I finish service today? I'll get back to God. When I'm going somewhere, I'm going to get back to God. When I'm coming back from somewhere, I'm happy going back to God. Honestly, that's the key. I'll show you why I said that. John 10, verse 9. John 10, verse 9. All of us know John 10, 10, don't we? I have come that you might have life. But look at John 10, verse 9. Look at what it says over here. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, what will he do? He'll be saved, comma, after you're born again. And he will go in and out. I asked myself for years, what's this going in and out? In fact, one time, let me tell you a story. Years ago, I was praying. I was not really seeing God manifesting much in my life. I said, praying, and God gave me this verse. You are blessed going out and blessed coming in. I said, what's that? I said, Lord, if you're not blessed going out, come in. If you're not blessed inside, go out. I said, Lily, can you hear me? Now, understanding. If you want to really be blessed in life, you're either going out from God or you are coming in from God. Now, if you are thinking of making money so you can really live a big life, God may not allow you to do that very well. But if you are actually thinking of, I want to live, I want to serve God, I want to please God, I want to go for his glory, God will let you have everything because you will drop it for him. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen, somebody. You drop it for him. That's a place I don't like in the Bible in my younger days. About Peter having fish. I love that miracle until the last verse. And he left all the fish and followed Jesus. Can we carry it along? He just left it all. He just followed. It's not depending on that. Of course, you're going to sell the fish. Of course, like, it's going to be wasted. But it's what paramount most is Jesus. Let's go back to Psalm 84, verse 3. Even the swallow or the sparrow, Psalm 84, verse 3, quickly. Psalm 84, verse 3. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself. Let me drop this. I love this. Where she may lay her young. Can I? Even your altars. Everybody, listen to this one. Some of us who are on the move a lot. If you are on the move here, you like to get things done. Can I actually tell you something this morning? Your productivity does not really rely on your moving. It relies on your time with God. Let me explain that very well. Yes, you need to dash around. You need to move around. That's your lifestyle. You are a swallow. You move around. But where will you lay your young? Where will you produce those ideas and make them in fruit? Where will those desires of you, where will it come to pass? You must take those ideas, those your struggles, those your desires, those aspirations, you are on the move. Take them to God and lay them at you at this altar. Are you hearing me? Lord, I got 10 things to do today. And then you take those things to God. I got that business deal. I got that over there. I need to talk about that. Take it to God. Because your kid, you see, you never see birds growing their chicks or there are little ones in the air. They have a nest. Are you hearing me? Recently, I had a challenge I had to really deal with. By my meter area, I saw these birds, these wild birds, two of them, like love mates. And then they started flying to my meter and started building a nest over there. I said, you can't do that over here. I had the heaviest feeling the day I had to break that nest and the eggs fell off. I was not ecological enough. But I saw that and just fell down and I felt too bad. Why? The future bird is coming from there. Your future success, productivity, if you're on the move, carry God along with you. But have a time to just lay it before the Lord. And see, where she may lay her young, she have a nest. And let me warn you, you're going to face things in life. Your plans sometimes will get aborted or get stalled. Where do you refer things to? Even when God sends you, it doesn't mean work out if you don't come along with God. God said to Moses, go down to Egypt and I will bring you out. What happened? Pharaoh made it more difficult, am I right? But you know what? Every time things get difficult, Moses will go and return to God. Am I right? And God will say, this next move, am I right? This next move, and this next move, and this next move, and this next move. Then God said, don't worry, I'll give the last move. And that last move, move them out. After the last move, Pharaoh still followed. Am I right? So don't ever think that's a safe ground anywhere on the planet except God's tabernacle. Let's start rounding up. Our time has been so much on this. So even your altars. So we have seen that for this man that want to be blessed, want to be a Christian, living a Christian life, first of all, he must have time to make God his outcry. Now, I'm not saying you have to go and hide in your room all the time, or you'll be broke. You can't be telling your husband, I want to have time with God, I want to have time with God, I want to have time with God, or you tell your wife, I want to have time with God. You will not go to work, you lose your job. But what I mean is that you begin to make God your center. And every chance you get, you talk. And you think along with him. I don't know how to describe this. I see, many of us who are professionals here, we must learn to do this. Nehemiah, the first chapter, the Bible said he was with God, he was praying, he was fasting, talking to God. The second chapter, he was at work. And then his prayer in the closet began to come to pass in the open. And the king said, what do you want? Nehemiah never said, let me run home and pray first. The Bible said, he prayed right down there. He brought his quiet time to the place. And he said, Father, right now, what should I ask the king? He said, I need some wood, I need some guard, I need some letters. So sometimes those on-spot prayer and those long prayers, some of them are equal. Are you hearing me? Let's just use them wisely. Am I making some sense? But it's not just prayer, it's your Father, it's your God. In the secret place, you need to meet. Am I making some sense this morning? Now, let's take a look. We have seen him in his privacy coming out. Let's go further. Psalm 84, verse 4. Let's look at how his life. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Look at that semicolon. They will still be what? Wow. Oh, let me say it like this. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will have reasons for thanksgiving. Oh, glory to Jesus. You know, something bad happened. They will say, thank God, it's not more than this. The other guy who is not, oh God, why is this happening? Now what's going on? And sometimes when they get blessed, there's a humility of thanksgiving that says, Lord, I know you are the source of this. They have this regulating in their own soul where they get to God. I believe that, listen to me, I said there are three tabernacles, am I right? Remember I said that? What's the first one? Heaven. Second? Huh? Church. Third one? Our heart. I believe that a church should offer that too. That when you come to church, you should be refreshed. In fact, I was shocked to see yesterday that the word refresh is the word for soul in the Old Testament, in the original. So when you come to church, your soul should be refreshed. Church should be a place where you go to, not just series of, but when you finish there, something is impressing to you. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. So if you start dwelling in the house of God, you'll have reasons to thank God. But many of us, we think like this, it's secular and spiritual. When you are in church, it's church. When you are out there, it's business, it's life. Forget about God now until you have trouble. When you have trouble, you call upon God. No. They will still be praising you. Next verse, let's jump. All right, quickly. Let's look at this. Blessed is the man whose strength is spiritual strength, is emotional strength, is mental strength, is physical strength. How many of you have been here? You know this. Sometimes you are not up to par for something, even physically, and God helps you. Anybody here, you have seen that before? As we get older? Wow. I can't thank God enough for that. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. That means, even, you know what? Money is a form of strength. Am I right? Money is what? Form of strength. Oh, let me put that. So, blessed is the man whose money is in you. Yesterday I was joking. I said, you can earn dollars, but we are still spending dollars on our street now. You don't believe that? I tell you what. Because things are going up according to dollars in the country too. Okay, you know, you bought it $500 last week. It's 1,000 now. So if I earn dollars, it's still almost the same power. Whatever I earn. And I love this one. Whose heart is set on what? Let me say it in a very crude way. Everyone who works with God is an allergy. The word allergy means a pilgrim. I'm from a pilgrim's progress. John Boyer. You know, so that means who is a pilgrim? A tourist and a pilgrim, they are two different things. A tourist is a person who goes for sightseeing. A pilgrim is a person who goes to holy sites. Did you hear what I just said? When you go on tourism to Jerusalem, we call you JP. That means pilgrim. Am I right? That means that you have visited holy sites like the tomb, like the water Galilee, like other holy sites. Now wait, everybody listen to this. This is amazing. This is amazing. That means that you begin to see your whole life as holy sight. Even sleeping with your wife as holy sight. Sila. Even relating with people. You know, a lot of time when I get text on my WhatsApp and I read things, I can see God like this, watching over me. How am I going to respond? Sometimes I have to just stop and don't answer. Because I'm not by myself alone. So life becomes a pilgrimage. And when you learn this, you'll go a long way. Listen to this. There's a brother here in church with his wife. They are here today. I won't mention their name. They got some challenge in their family. And one day God woke me up. And God said to me, maybe you should tell them that it's not about the problem. It's what God wants to do in their own life at this moment. So God is saying to us this morning that when you start working with me, every sight, when you lack money, when you seem to be restless, when somebody attacks you, maybe turn into a holy sight and ask yourself, what does God want here? That's what changed Moses' life. He saw a fire burning, bush was not consumed, and he stepped aside. He could have walked away. But he said, this is strange. As he looked there, maybe your friend just get mad suddenly. Something happened in our big family recently. And then when somebody responded one kind, one way, and then my other brother said, I wonder why he did that. Then later, it just came up. We just, whoa, let's surround, let's go after this. Listen to me. People usually react from where they are with God. Let me help Prof here, Professor Kendi. You know, sometimes people come over here and corruption is in our land too much because people don't know how to depend on God. They don't know. So everywhere they can grab something. That commissioner who is stacking dollars, because after he's left office, who will care for him? But God will care for us. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? God will care for us. He'll open more doors for our life. So you can see this person. Let's look at his rough times and good times. Let's go to the next verse. Let's read this verse in Living Bible. My time is really fast spent. I got to stop. Oh, take a look at this. This person who is trusting God is not immune to life difficulties. Oh, I love this. When they walk through, these people, when they walk through the valley of weeping, back and means to weep, to have sorrow, to have pain sometimes. Things don't go the way you want it. He said, that place, like I said, only side, it becomes what? A place of refreshing. Wow. That verse, I never agreed with it when I was younger. No! Any problem that's troubling me is a devil. Yeah, it's a devil. But what am I going to come out of with? Outside of it. How can I even make profit from that? In my spiritual life, my financial life, and in my emotional life. Becomes a place of refreshing spring. The autumn rains will clothe it with what? Blessings. It's called Valley of Weeping. Have you ever noticed that valley is where fountains and rivers flow? Our time is fast spent. Let's look at the next verse quickly. I hope you are getting something out of this. Let's go back. They will continue to grow stronger. They go from strength. I'm not hearing your voice. From what? Wow. Each one appears before God in Zion. You know what he said over here? I go to church. I go to my heart. But actually, I'm going to heaven every time I meet God. You know what I just said? Every time. Some of us, when we get to heaven, it won't be strange to us. We have been there several times. You know what I just said? I mean, if you have been used to it, Heavenly Father, when you leave your body like this, you are eager to get there. Tell yourself, I'm going from strength to strength. Spiritually, economically, physically, financially, wisdom-wise, I'm going from strength to strength. Can you lift your hands and say, Father, thank you for strength to strength. Thank you for equipping me to go from where I am to the next level of strength. Tell yourself, I move to the next level of strength in my life because God is good to me. I'm not growing weaker. I'm growing stronger. What is looking as weakness in me, God is making his power available there. My power is made manifest in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. Can you welcome grace? Can you welcome power? Even where you are weak right now, where you are feeling weak right now, I'm weak academically, I'm weak emotionally, I'm weak financially. Lord, I welcome your power. I welcome your strength. I welcome your strength. I welcome your strength. I welcome your strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got to stop. I can't finish it. It's so beautiful. Let's round up with this verse, verse 10. All I've been saying since is this. For a day in your court is what? Do you know the meaning of that? That means one day, one time you spend with God, you are getting 1,000 days back. Are you hearing me? That means 3.5 years. Thereabouts. Okay, let's say 3 years. like 3 years, not 3 years. 3 years. That means if I spend time with God, my productivity will increase spiritually. Let me warn you. When you begin to hang around God, your memory, your imaginations get stronger. I remember things I should do that I didn't do in God's presence. God comes alive. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omni-whatever. And that starts reflecting your life. I close like this. When I was coming to church this morning, I was thinking about this. And I said that when I go to somebody's house, their dwelling place, I will see things, I will hear things. But also, if they have a good smell in the house, that smell may get on me. Hello? Hello? You know, so maybe they have rose or something, kind of they spray their house smelling well. When you come out, that smell can get on you. And I was thinking this morning that may the smell of God get on us. The fragrance of his knowledge. That when we spend that kind of time with God, something cautions people around us. We smell better. We smell good. Praise God, somebody. Can we lift our hands and say, Father, thank you for things I will see and I will hear. And I will smell around you. Thank you, Father. Oh, we give you glory and honor. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the things I will see. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It's not entered the heart of man. The things which God has prepared. So let's come to him. Let's make his house, our lovely tabernacle, our best dwelling place, our best bedroom is God's presence. Let's keep at that. Are you a sparrow or are you a swallow? Are you on the move or are you balanced and settled? Whichever way, there's a place for you at the altar of the Most High God. Thank you, Father God. We bless your name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, today's pastor's offering. So let's just give it now while they sing. They'll come out our offering later. I think we have a song or something.